3 weeks in a row. Avatar: The Way of Water, rated PG-13. Now playing.
Okay, that was inelegant, but we'll get better. Hello, everyone. Welnati kamea, and welcome to the Avatar podcast.
Hello.
Episode 43.
Gosh. No, 42.
It's 42. Oh, wow. Seriously?
Is it 41? Okay.
It's 42. It's 42.
You guys are
42. Okay, 42.
Okay, all right. Hey, Captain Minty. Hey, how are you?
Good. Hi, how's it going, my man?
Good to hear from you, man. I'm so glad. I think there's even some comments from people. Oh, look at that. Let's highlight. So Brielle chiming in. Klee, the Avatar guy. I don't know if he was. So we'll get around to all that. But before all of that, and I'm going to start doing this, especially since last episode, an important conversation, First Peoples First. So through Avatar's unique and powerful artivism and its core message of restoring Indigenous prominence and guardianship, we dedicate each episode to First Peoples worldwide. Canberra, where I'm from, is Ngunnawal country. The Ngunnawal are the Indigenous peoples of this region and its first inhabitants. Indigenous people here have been in Australia for 60,000 years, with colonization occurring only 122 years ago. So I will now welcome you all in Ngunnawal language. So Dawara Nuna, Dawara Ngunnawal, Yanggu Nalawiri, Dunimanyin, Ngunnawal Wari, Dawara Wari. Ningala, Dindi, Daura, Ngunnawalbun, Injum, Araligin. This is Ngunnawal country. Today, we are gathering on Ngunnawal country. And please always pay respect to elders, female and male, on Ngunnawal country. So start getting that into your sort of your brain fuzz, like just, you know, create a Pavlovian thing of every time you jump on the Avatar podcast, it's like Indigenous guardianship and kinship and love. Oh, but now I have to throw it to even more people. Oh my god, holiday has appeared. Oh my god. Oh my god, the love. All right, now I can't even handle it. I need to turn to AG, Mr. YouTuber Supreme. How do you deal with this when there's just this? Oh my god, the love is totally real. I guess we should do a round table. Sophie, come on, stay. How are you?
Oh my god. Why I be the first one?
No, that's cool. Go for it.
You can hear me well?
I certainly can.
Yeah, because I don't have my headphones anymore.
StreamYard is a gift to Earth God, so yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you having a good day?
Yeah, I'm trying to be happy to see the best in the world after they robbed me, but...
Okay, everyone stop right now. Sophie, totally, I'm glad you brought it up. I wouldn't have brought it up unless you did. Yo. Bad karma to the thieves, totally. Like there was like a robbery or something. So I want you all to kind of focus like chi, like universe balancing energy. I hope they stub their toes.
Manifest the minds to get these robbers the justice that they deserve. You know, they need the bad karma in life, you know?
Thank you.
Yes.
Hashtag, they need the bad karma in life.
Who are we shaming? Are we shaming the pirates who put it online?
No, we're shaming the people who like totally robbed Sophie. Like I like a restaurant.
Oh no!
It was a table full of children, guys. This is not normal.
All right. So we have brainless mad Matt saying out Sahik and Matsahik Gabriella.
This is my clan, my Italian clan.
I love the Italian clan. So we obviously keep the positive vibes mostly as like the default kind of position of the pendulum, but when one of our own, you know, gets like this awful unpleasant stuff happening from the cosmos, like I really hope that rebalances out. Fill me in later, Sophie, with the details.
Just hope that they needed it more than you.
Exactly. Oh well, who knows? We'll see. Hopefully that's a very positive kind of way to see it. Generous, and my whole vibe with all of this kind of thing is good coming to good people, and just for bad people again, like you said, holiday, never wishing overtly bad on them, but just hoping that they have some kind of awakening of that.
Remember that it bounces back. Like the day I bought this sweater, I was at Cirque du Soleil and my storage unit was robbed and I lost everything I owned because I had just moved out of my apartment, but I got this awesome sweater out of it. So I don't know who's winning here, but I think it's me.
And you're an icon now because of your sweater.
Exactly. Look what happens.
The fun is real. Actually, I was going to go around, but AG, you wouldn't mind if we do some further ladies firstness, even though you're next chronologically. Would you mind me throwing it to Alex? Oh, look, AG, such a polite young man. Alex, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's actually my birthday today, so
happy birthday!
Okay, well, yes, we have Klee, who's, by the way, just to kind of get the crazy fun times like omnidirectional discourse. Who's this minty guy? His voice is very nice. So, yeah,
thank you so much, my man. Thank you so much, honestly. Yeah,
good vibes all around. Look, so thank you for being who you are, doing what you do, Alex. We love you very much. You're part of the Avatar podcast family, Kuranyu tribe, strong. Yeah. And I just hope you take full advantage of being essentially allowed to be a tyrant for 24 hours. You have to make completely unreasonable demands of all your loved ones and eat ridiculous amounts of cake and just be a nuisance for 24 hours. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. That's the all best right. part of the birthday.
Yes, of course, of course. Okay, so AG, Mr. Avatar guy, how are you, mate?
I'm good, I'm good. Happy birthday, by the way. That's some real commitment coming on your birthday.
What's going on?
Well, the Kuranyu tribe is like, I mean, you guys have been such a wonderful group. And I was telling my friends, I was like, I couldn't think of a better way to spend my birthday.
You are not even saying that right now.
You can go see it again in for your birthday as well. But it hasn't left the cinema yet.
Impromptu present for Alex. See this right here? This shirt?
Yes, I love that shirt.
Okay, so obviously, unless you've picked one up already, so designed by our good friend Cosplay Alita, it's on one of them's on your way. On your way to, yes, that's right. Happy birthday. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had to AG, I think that's good to kind of balance out the, you know, that has to be recognized. It's like that you're committed. You know, you've even got a bit of Kiri hair going. It's fantastic. Kathleen, you haven't been on the show for, I think, at least 10 episodes, but look, you're a stalwart supporter and the love is real for you. There's been some choppy ups and downs with all the things in life, but look, sending you all the good vibes. And how does the day find you, Ma'elan? Oh no, we have an audio issue. We cannot hear you. This sucks. You might have to move a bit closer to your microphone. Just maybe unmute yourself. There should be...
Can you hear me now?
I certainly can. Excellent.
Okay, yes, sorry. My mic was off on my end. But you're the cool. has been really well. I've just been mainly hanging out at home with my family and watching various Avatar things to prepare myself for the day. And I came in cosplay for this wonderful occasion.
I certainly appreciate it. And a little bit more highlighting to the Navi Dreamwalker as well. It's also the name you're known by. So is one of the most like constantly engaged folks in, and I think this applies for everyone. AG can attest, Holiday on Pandora can attest. She's just like one of those constant supports. And I am in a massive deficit of the amount of appreciation I ought to have expressed to you, and I will continually do so. So great to have you on this now road to Avatar 3 and beyond and all that. So lots of love. Robin, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing very well, thank you.
You're living your best life. Yeah?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Imagine if she was like, actually.
Yes, today I did some more.
Oh, very good. Good. Yes. Oh, I was about to make a self-deprecating pun about like maybe she's actually not having the best time, but don't worry about that. Yes, if you could move closer.
I am having my time.
You're so sweet. Move closer. Show people this wonderful art form of yours, your beautiful dreadlock designs, which is now we are in an era of this with, you know, dreadlocks becoming so prominent with. Yeah, so excellent. Yeah, and just this beautiful form of expression that you've been sharing with us with Salty Dreads. And again, everyone here has been on the show before, which makes me so happy. Having a moment. One second. Having a moment. Apart from AG. So I'm gonna highlight AG, and he has to now impromptu explain why he thought he was big timing me. And go on, explain yourself. I'm kidding.
What is big timing me?
Big timing is when you're too big to actually jump on a channel. But no, honestly, you've actually similarly. I'm joshing. another super engaged and insanely generous content creator. You've got like three avatar channels now. You have a countdown channel. Oh,
the countdown's gone to sleep until maybe closer to three comes out. It didn't really.
Okay.
Just two.
But so just avatar guy pretty much everywhere. And yo, was on that panel, not on the panel, but you sort of attended, you know, this Q&A thing with Cameron himself, which was kind of rad. Little tangent to AG just then. Beautiful. But Robin, so good to have you.
Good to be back.
Yes. And here's to many more. Seriously, we might even go along on this one because the hanging out is real. Oh, we got Klee saying, avatar guy, big man. I love it. Goodbye. Oh, what the heck? This is talking about, I'm last in this, so we're talking Holiday, we're talking Sophia, Robin, Kathleen, and Alex. Zajac is saying so many legends all in one podcast. I'll put myself at the very end there. Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, I'm facilitating it, so but thank you.
You're the organizer, so you deserve credit.
love. Vaga B Holiday, how are you?
Hey, I'm fantastic.
We're plant buddies, even though you can't see it because it's green.
Do we? Oh, yeah. I hope they're okay. I live in a weird corner, which gets very little sunshine this time of year. So I'm just like trying not to touch them out of fear that they might just die. But they're doing okay.
Oh, corner apartment buddies. My apartment's also in a big corner. We get like no sunlight in winter. In the summer, it's still bright. And then in the winter, it's like dark all the time.
Yeah, I'm just like giving them little bits of fertilizer, not trying to overwater them. Like, please live. Like, two more months and you get sunshine, I swear.
I love it. Corner buds.
I seriously thought that plant was blue for a second. I was like, I've gone to Pandora and got a plant.
You know, green and blue. It's
like there's a couple food colorings, a couple plants. You can do that if you really wanted to, like, avatar up your apartment. It's possible.
Yeah, no totes. Am I insane, or is AG the guy who interviewed Joshua Izzo, aka author of I think like World of Pandora, a couple of books during Amatacon 23?
I think I saw him there.
So there you go.
Joshua. I wasn't able to make it.
There's a recording of the video somewhere that is floating around. I don't know where it is, but
I'll find it.
There was a bunch of really good like lore things that he kind of revealed on that, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, well, check it in the chat. We have more lovely comments. Night Fury, Minty, you're doing great. Okay, so a little bit of support there. Yeah, beautiful. And I love you, dogs and animals, saying Vai Matsahik, which is for Sophie. I love this. Also, another mini tangent. Sophia Avatarini has created this Avatarini. It's this lovely community of Italian avatar fans. Avatar Italians, Nav Italians. It's really great. And
Italian community on TikTok has been so wonderful for like responding to like cosplay and other things like that. So thank you for helping curate that community. They're some of the most supportive and wonderful people. I don't speak any Italian, but I love seeing their comments on my posts and stuff. It's so sweet.
When I joined Avatar TikTok like months ago, there was probably only one creator that I saw, and they were Italian. I was like, look, all these hashtags have already been made. This is fantastic.
It is.
We are trying to create a big family. Now we are 300 people. Right?
Yeah.
And
it's insane, really.
To create an association, no profit. Just for doing benefits and things, I will do a shooting to the voice actor of Loak. Loak. So
let's
now we're a big family.
Oh, beautiful! While we're in solo layout, so you can clip this out. So let's say hi to the Italian voice actor of Loak. What's up? Ciao, come stai? Hey, what's up? Love you a lot. There you are. And this one, I think, because Sophie's been trying to bring me into the trends. There was a TikTok thing there, which is very sweet. Sireya, at one point, for those who she just grabs him there, which has two symbolism. One is she's loving on that fourth finger, where a lot of people, you know, stigmatize him for it. So just grabbing that, and then a little allusion to at the very beginning when she's, it's that montage of the Selly parents. And the, you know, I think it might be the Taeyeon, but you know, one of the, like the baby grabs,
it's,
you know,
his Kiri.
Yeah, it's Kiri.
There you go. Isn't that sweet? Makiri, that's right.
I love it. She's so cute.
I know. There you go. Okay, so it's so funny. We have Hannah being like, excuse me, predictions regarding Avatar 3. We'll get there. We'll get there. Lots of love to you, Hannah. But I think when we're going our round table, Alex, have we had a little spotlight on you yet? No, we haven't. So how are you? How's life?
Oh, it was my birthday. Birthday's
over. We've already talked about it. That's kind of-
I am actually, in terms of like updates on stuff, I am actually planning a new Avatar cosplay, and I am working with the company that does my bodysuits and stuff again. I'm hoping to get some pictures on the lakefront here in Chicago, because it's kind of like a beach. And my friend is considering cosplaying Locke with me, cosplaying Tsureya, so we can hopefully do some really cute photos together.
Okay, well, and yes, so that lazy snail, folks, very SEO, you know, like.
And I have a poster of my faves, my two faves. Oh,
yeah. I love it.
Love them.
Maybe, hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Maybe Ewa has turned her back on you, chosen one.
I love Ronal. I think she deserves way more credit than the fan base is. There's not enough people, in my opinion. I'm on TikTok. I see all these thirst edits over Jake Sully all the time.
No, that's cool.
And I just think that there's not enough people thirsting over Ronal and Tonawari.
Tonawari, my side. Yeah, we're like Team Tono.
Where's all the cool, fun videos of them on edits on TikTok?
If I knew how to edit, I would do it, but
yeah.
I don't know how to edit either. That's why.
That's it. Can we do a round table to see who has recently suffered the shame of being useless? Right here. Did you raise your hand, AG? It's good to not be useless, but yeah, that's a Tonawari deep cut for people who have seen the movie like over 4 times, I guess. The Iron Ingot saying Disco Ewa, why not? Sure. Okay. I love that.
Okay.
I'm really hopeful like that Tonawari and Ronal are going to get much more like love in Avatar 3. Because I completely agree with you. I think that like Tonawari, I mean, Ronal's just amazing. Her energy's really cool. But the panache on Tonawari, like he has such a gravitas.
He does.
You know, like even, I don't know, I can't describe it. It's like, he's the kind of guy where if he asks you to do something, he's like, comes to you, he's like, I want you to be my top guy. You just can't say no. You know?
Like, anything you want, Misty.
Yeah, exactly.
As much as I love Tonawari, I really just want a blown up photo of Cliff Curtis in his Tonawari gear that they did for the motion capture when they needed to figure out how the costuming was going to work underwater. There's just like a video of him like with his like and he's on his skim wing. And he's up
on the skim wing. Oh, I love that. That's like my favorite behind
his legs are fully tattooed. And I'm like, Incredible. Yeah, baby, that's it. Yeah. Cliff Curtis, daddy of the year.
He is daddy of the year. Go ahead.
That taken from Oscar Isaac and Pedro Pascal.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Steven Spielberg. Go for it, Alex.
Yeah, that footage of them with now we're getting all this like really intricate costume footage, right? Which is just making me so happy. I've been asking for Deborah Scott to make an Instagram.
Yeah.
Like 10 years. I've been like, make an Instagram so that I can follow you. But I finally, now that she has one, we're getting all this really beautiful behind the scenes stuff, and seeing him actually in the costume just like as a human was so cool, because it just adds a whole other layer, I feel like, to his character, because Cliff Curtis really does just embody that like lovable kind. I mean, you see other actors talking about him, he's just such a genuinely wonderful human being, and I love that about seeing that like crossover between his actual human personality and his character and the, you know, Na'vi and motion capture element.
No, I agree. And he is that best, that like that really integrated kind of the masculine, where he'll begin gentle, but then, I mean, when he asks you this, he won't ask you a third time. He'll be sit down, you know, when he does that, sit down, and then, you know,
gotta clear the air. Yeah.
Hear my words, boy. And I heard a bit of the New Zealand come out there. That's how Maoris start talking a lot. They say boy, and they do that with their hand. It's great. Made me very, very proud to be a neighbor, not even from there. But let's randomly all meet in New Zealand like this year.
Right? I would love to.
I'd love to, but I have parents, so
okay. So not gonna Kathleen, When has that ever stopped you? I'm kidding. Obviously, ask your parents permission for these things. But if we did all rock up on Park Road dressed as Na'vi, because they're in this beasting it, aren't they, AG, over in Park Road? They're doing their post-production in New Zealand. I've walked that road. It's extremely sleepy and quiet over in Wellington. But just behind, you know, the doors of Park Road there, and you know, where to workshop and all that, or where to digital.
Should we be alerting security?
No, I just think it would be so funny.
I've been over there in the cover of darkness. They don't know.
Avatar Guy is streaming directly from Pandora. That's right. Thank you. Brainless moment.
You know, I was saying, you know, the other thing about Tonawari, he's absolutely like, he's such a big guy in comparison to Jake. Like,
yeah.
You know, have you guys seen the height difference? He's massive.
Yeah. He's,
makes me wonder how tall Aonung is going to get. Like, because he's clearly not fully grown in height. I'm curious if we're going to see him start towering over Loak. I think that would be kind of interesting.
I want to do roundtables on all these characters, but I suppose we should wrangle a little bit and mention, yes, this is the very first of many to come. May it be as many as there are, like, you know, years that can ever be. Beautiful annual January Avatar gatherings. Maybe we'll come up with a Na'vi name for them, but yes, Meeting of the Clans 2023, I guess, is now in session. There you go. Fun. So glad for everyone who chimed in and was able to make it. Klee, it's true. He's a big guy. Klee, we've already moved on. We know. You know, and actually, as well as, you know, I had a couple of things that, like, I wanted to sort of, like, housekeeping stuff. So the film has crossed 2 billion, you know, and again,
it was 1.9 when I checked today, but okay.
Never the goal. However, it's a beautiful byproduct of just, you know, this man who has just said, look, I see you, Tolkien. I'm just going to do something, which is like Tolkien, but this is Jim, you know, Avatar Guy will attest. It's like if Tolkien had the resources of basically the entire US government or something, because he can get science stuff developed. He can commit teams to developing new tech, and it's truly an endeavor that goes beyond filmmaking. And we'll see that evidenced in Frontiers of Pandora, which I feel like we're on pretty solid ground to say, like, this year in terms of big Avatar, I mean, it's Frontiers of Pandora.
It might still get pushed to 2024. They had announced that last year that it might not come out, so don't get too excited.
We're Avatar fans are patient people. We've learned a deep patience.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think Bailey and Mintia were in the lobby. So Bailey becoming Na'vi joined, and Mintia.
Yeah, oh, fantastic. Well. Thank you. Oh, goodness. Thank you so much.
Hi, how's it going? I'm finally back.
Hey, yo, hello, you guys.
Even this lady right here, Bailey. Bailey, I don't care if it's out of sync. Bailey,
I need like an intro song. You're like,
need
like an outro at the end.
Wait, I just started doing what Quaritch did when he get his Ikran. He's like, all right,
oh, yeah,
get some,
get some. I can't do this fast enough.
I was like, wait, did I click a button? Really? I'm like, oh god, hey guys.
Okay, so hails to Bailey. I mean, it even rhymes. Hail Bales. Hails the Bales.
Who has, and I
will, you know, it's for you to be the humble boffin and for us to gather around, celebrate you, you know, doing that thing from Avatar 1 where it's all the people's hands on their shoulders.
Yeah.
No, almost 100. I think you've crossed 100k now on IG, something like that.
I've been hanging out at 90k.
Okay, what is wrong?
And I'm loving it, and it's crazy. And Instagram is just wild, you guys. It's a wild ride out there. So I don't know.
I gotta say, if all those people on TikTok taking your pictures actually credit you, you'd probably be at 100k.
Oh my gosh. Seriously. Yeah. If anybody here knows anything about face claiming, I would love to be enlightened. I would love to learn what that means.
Yes. So what is that like? It's like a meta thing, right? To be able to claim. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's for lucid dreaming. They do like lucid dreaming where they go and they like dream that they're in Pandora, and that's the face that they imagine themselves with.
That's scripting. That's not quite lucid dreaming. It's like a they imagine themselves as reality jumpers. So if you ever reality see like scripting, shifting. Shifting, that's it.
Oh,
right.
So they'll like script what they want to do in their, and they'll like kind of envision it. And then it's almost like a meditative thing. It really took off with Draco Talk. That's where it really started, was Tom Felton joined TikTok. And then very young generation decided that they all wanted to live at Hogwarts and become Tom Felton's girlfriend. And just kind of snowballed since there. So now it's reality shifters is what they are.
But if I can just inject my thought here for 1 second. So I've done a little bit of research on the reality shifting, and thank you, Albert. I've done a little research on it, and from what I've seen, it's basically just another name for lucid dreaming. Like, they're just using different techniques, but it's pretty much the same thing.
No, I get that.
Lucid dreaming, you need to like train your mind to do it as well. It's when you're able to think about something and it's so pure in your head that the minute you fall asleep, you are in the zone. You know exactly what's happening. You have exact control of the dream that's happening right in front of you. You know, it's the ultimate sandbox of the mind. And I think what you're saying now is with the reality, I think it sounds a little bit different. I think it's more like a, like LARPing or something kind of thing. It's it's a different mindset, right?
Yeah. Well, not to diminish it, because I obviously don't have a stake in or claim in it, but I think the idea is that, or it's more or less, yes, it is lucid dreaming, non-physical, if it was to be studied, but it culturally has evolved to this kind of point where they believe it's almost shifting through realities with the popularity of the multiverse and all that idea, which is true in a certain sense, but I guess it's just an escapism track. And the point is, if you're going to go and do that and you're going to believe that you're on Pandora, I have no problem with you saying that you do. Just when you come back, take those lessons from Pandora and apply them to your current reality. That's the important
point. And maybe don't use other people's faces to do
it. Don't use other people's faces.
That would also be good.
Since, you know, Bailey's art is her face.
And let me once again, and Bailey, we started this with sending like, not a voodoo curse or something, but we just sent a little focused beam of just like bad juju, or just like, you know, check yourself juju to this, like, yeah, Sophie got robbed. It sucked. It sucked so bad. Whether it's physical or digital, like the Thieven Steelberg has to end. And I'm being bit of levity about it, but like straight up, it's not good for the soul to do that. And yes, so let that be something which, if you see it out there, listeners on the post show and stuff, I'm the guy who goes into comments of posts and say, look, you can go to, what is it, labnol.org/reverse, or you can go Google Lens. Easy way to add, you know, credit to this. We should be in a post, you know, well, I don't know, TikTok maybe complicates that because of just the amount of people just reposting and stuff, but I would love for this show, and then, you know, as an effect that this might have, sending it out into the universe, like, it does you well. It does you good to kind of create that sort of trail of like, hey, so that your love for this thing you found can find its way back to the actual person who made it. And I mean, the Baileys of the world will very much appreciate that. So little PSA about not being lame and lame. Yes, thank you very much, Kathleen. Thank you very much. Absolutely, for both of you. So so Bailey, you jumped in. I think I did, but let's do it again because now everyone's here. But yes, Meeting of the Clans 2023. Meeting of the Clans 2023. Okay, so think of it as like we're all Tulkun and we're migrating, and then we meet every January. AG, do you know about my plan to actually turn into a Tulkun? So far, no luck.
No.
Look at this position. Look,
I know about it.
Gene editing, baby.
Yeah.
So that's look at this. He's bringing the frontiers.
I was inspired.
Okay, cool. I like it. Let's get. Hey, there's a thing where if we want to all do at some point the same, what is it, green screen background, that'll be fun if we coordinate that some other day. But for the rest, you know, Minty can be forever mysterious.
I wish I had a cameraman, honestly.
You know, on the Tulkun part, if they can mix Navi and human DNA,
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
What other creatures could you have avatars of? Maybe you could I don't know.
Well, the Talkoon, for as far as we know, are the only other sentient species, which I think is kind of derivative, because in the long run of all things, humans are still just human, and we are also animals. We're not that much better. We just have this ego to think that we are. So the Talkoon shouldn't be that much more spectacular than an Ilu, but that is the current narrative that they're going for. So the Talkoon are the only other sentient species that we are aware of that they could theoretically make an avatar body of if they were able to do the proper gene editing. But
okay.
I wonder if the reason they don't do that, well, I'm sure a little bit of it is arrogance, because they think that we're better than the Talkoon, or like humans and Na'vi are like somehow better than the Talkoon because we like use tools and things like that. You know, there's that whole narrative of like intelligence, right? But I wonder if it has something to do with the genetic structure, because they talk about like splicing the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if their DNA, like the Tulkun's DNA and the way that animals' DNA is structured slightly differently depending on what they are, especially if you're like in the ocean. And we don't have Biology of Pandora here to talk about that, but I'm sure if she was, she would be all over it. But I wonder
With the whole sentience thing, no? It's sentient means that they're like aware of their surroundings. So the Na'vi are sentient, because they know that they're the Na'vi. They know what's up in life. Mm-hmm. They're aware of their existence. And it's the same with the Talkoon. But you look at something like an Ikran knows how to hunt. An Ikran knows how to fly. But an Ikran doesn't know what it is. And that's why it's not sentient.
Well, then just bringing that back to humans on Earth with our reality, whales are self-aware, dolphins are self-aware. This is something that as a species we are still very much in denial of. It's another barrier that we've put between us and something else, so that we can justify the hunting of it or the destruction of it or destroying its resources, because it doesn't matter if we are superior. So that's just something that I really enjoy about this film, is it's meant to bring down those realities and put them in a way that we're supposed to see them in front of us and be like, oh yeah, we're not that special. So let's remember that.
I just had a conversation with someone the other day about how they're like, why don't we see how intelligent the Talkoon are? And I said, why do we need to? Like, why can't we acknowledge that they may be smarter than us, and we don't have to see it represented in the ways that we conventionally associate with intelligence, such as written language or tools, right? Do those things actually constitute consciousness, or higher thinking, or do they, we just think they do because they're something we do? I think that that's what Cameron is really trying to like pick apart, right? This idea that our concepts of intelligence are only limited to our perspective, and maybe they do exist in the form of things that we can't understand.
Absolutely. And that translates to indigenous cultures, because for thousands of years before the Western or European colonists were able to come in, we had indigenous cultures that just had verbal histories, and they were able to communicate. They didn't have written histories. They didn't have documentation. And without that, it's been a way for European colonists to say, well, they're not as good as us. And it's just about taking that same lesson and applying it to our real life.
It's about the parameters by which you determine something is something. So, and that's the purpose of that scene, is to illustrate, well, because they don't walk like us, quack like us, then they must not be as, insert adjective or whatever. But there's a beautiful allusion in the books as well about their intelligence going beyond something we can understand yet, which speaks to, and I think my fiance Ray, she was watching, I think, My Octopus Teacher, right? Mm-hmm. Is this beautiful Netflix documentary about just how smart this one octopus is, and like you start wondering on what levels they're intelligent, because our framing of what constitutes being like extremely intelligent is our own. It's a human construct, it's certainly something worth diving into. Our family is a fortress. Sophia has created a big family. Oh my god, the love. Robin, let's balance out the airwaves. What if you'd have to, we're going to go solo layout. This is the Robin minute. Say something. Any tangent you like. Go for it.
About like the avatar thing you were talking about with the, like, if you would, how did you phrase it? If it would be possible to like be like have a Talkoon be an avatar.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I was wondering if you have like for example, my cat, if there is like an equivalent house cat on Pandora, can I bring my cat? Like me be a Navi and then like bring my cat.
Well, I mean, to take a bit of a, you know, as long as the question's being fielded open, openly, I kind of like the idea of, interesting riffs on the concept. Because for a while, NAG will attest, because we've been following for a long time, we weren't quite sure, like, oh, how is he coming back? You know, like Stephen Lang. And it wasn't until, I think the Empire, you know, magazines and, you know, that kind of Hollywood Reporter stuff, where they were like, oh, yeah, so he's an RV. Obviously, we kind of assumed he would, but there was sort of a playing coy thing happening. There have been some speculation about humans, you know, not like Na'vi avataring into humans, because the title of the saga is Avatar, and you need to, in some sense, tick that Avatar box. So for this film, it was Norm, you know, he avatars into and out of his body, and in the visual dictionary it mentions that he tries to spend as much time in his avatar as possible, which I think lines up with maybe him being able to transcend. And certainly we have Avatar 3 speculation about young Miles. Imagine again a little vignette for everybody, so it's him, you know, Avatar Avatar Miles, and then Avatar Miles, like the two Miles is like doing, I don't know, some kind of the Quaritch equivalent of that Nateam like hunting scene. Like instead of the sweet bow and arrow, it's like, here you go, son. Just aim it. That's right. That's right. You absorb the recoil, you know?
Regarding your cat, Robin. So yes. The lore behind the development of the Avatar, again, with James Cameron, everything has to be more or less scientifically possible. So first of all, we have to understand that the financial investment that's taking place in order for there to be avatars is all being created by the RDA with the sole purpose of getting financial payback out of it by extracting that. So the avatars were originally developed as miners. They were supposed to be miners that they wouldn't have to feed because it cost that much more money to get food and nutrition for human beings onto Pandora, because that entire planet is not conducive to the way of human life. So they would have to then redevelop something that would allow for the neural network pathways of a cat to be able to transfer over to an avatar body, which once they have developed the technology theoretically for a human, they would be able to create some sort of gene editing chain that would allow for them to do that. Sorry, I'm probably not doing this very well in English for you.
Oh, it's cool.
But so that's one side of it, is that the RDA would just never pay for that. So I'm not trying to break people's hopes. Is it possible? That's a different story, because I do believe that cats are just as conscious as a human, but that's more aware, less.
Sorry. I'm also just wondering, because, for example, if you talk about like a human soul entering like a Tulkun body, I think that would not go well.
Yes.
I really think that to match an avatar in this case, you would really have to have the same type of connection to the body, coordination.
You're giving me both of you. I need to, we're creating this now, I think. Yo, Vaga and Robin. These are podcasts are great for this. I want to like break this conversation out into its separate episode, because it's so interesting exploring just like the limits and interchangeability of like consciousness. So yes, please. And I'm going to be privileged to host such a chat. So would you guys want to do something like that? Let's dive in on a little silo episode. Random Baileyness. What's up? What do you have to say for yourself?
Well, funny we're talking about cats. My cat's over here. I don't know if anyone has been seeing this, who's watching, or you guys. I have my kitten just running around, and whenever I discard of him in the background, it looks like he's like going off into the forest.
Nice. Okay. And that's so cool.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to stay like composed when it happens, but
okay, we're gonna keep on solo view until your cat appears. So you've got honestly, Frontiers of Pandora there. What I'm hoping for, and again,
oh my gosh.
Okay, so I mean I could go into my thing about like how you know, interactive art is this beautiful frontier art form for the human race because it represents like us becoming art, and like how it's this thing that's founded on empathy and like stepping into the shoes of. I could go into that, and that would be a wonderful thing, which, you know, exploring that. But what's something that on a, I guess, with a Bailey tinged kind of lens, being that you are now synonymous probably for the rest of your life with becoming Na'vi. I mean, we are all going to become Na'vi at some point, either later this year or early next year.
You must. Yeah, so, I'm honestly, am pumped for this. Yes. And for many, many a reason. Mm-hmm. Yes, Amrita, you guys, stay youthful. I'm kidding.
It just stops humanizing. Bailey, it stops humanizing. It just fucking stops it.
Stop it.
But you have to murder it.
Sorry. Wait,
I feel like water is the same. Just drink water and you'll age slower.
Fair. That is so true.
Avatar guy, how much water do you have today?
I'm kind of, this is water. I don't know if you can see it, but it's got orange juice mixed in with it because I don't really, I find it difficult to drink that much water.
Okay, all right. I rudely interrupted someone, but I like that we're all showing. Oh my God. Okay, let's squeeze all of you again. Oh, Madonna.
So sweet.
Okay.
That's well done, just... Bailey.
Oh, baby.
This is me and my baby. Bye, baby.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Oh, okay.
It was so heartwarming making that. It was because Sophie's connection with her son is, she shared with me a lot, and it is just so beautiful.
Me too.
So I'm so excited to become a mother, and I could just hope to be as much of a mother as Soph. Because she's incredible. So that piece, I put a lot of my heart into that one because I wanted it to be good, because it deserves to be good, and it is a special piece. And yeah, I adore it so much. Oh, there's my page. What's up?
There's a page. And so I wanted to bring it up to see if you had added it, but not quite yet. But yes, all the
celebrations. Well, actually, it's in my, I have a story highlight now. Oh, okay. You might have to turn to the left, but I have this thing called my Becoming Na'vi program, a fun little way to like share the commissions that I do with people, and to kind of give some more like depth and meaning to the whole process behind it in a way. And so I share it, going forward, I'm gonna be sharing my commission pieces that people want me to share on this.
Oh my Lord, and I mentioned it, that's why I'm bringing it up, is honestly, so I'm talking to Lightstorm, Disney. I'm doing this for AG too. I want eventually AG to be like the voice of, like, you know, as you go, because his voice is so synonymous with informing people in this really digestible, snappy way on Avatar. Mm-hmm. I want you, AG, in you, whatever future versions of the expanded like World of Pandora thing, like, you know, as this sort of maybe Alpha Centauri in universe person who actually tells people about it. But
look, God, that'd be freaking insane, right? Dude.
You need to be on that level of somehow involved, and I
like a cameo. I don't even know.
No cameo. Like you know, again, to you be massive, like, you know, someone to help people become their Na'vi selves.
I mean, yeah, I love it. I love it so much. Right? It's talking and like trying to. The nice thing about doing commissions and helping people like see their avatar selves is, oftentimes they'll share like their reasons as to why they love, you know, this franchise so much, and like the meaning it has with them. And then so it's kind of fun, like being like, okay, how can I channel what they shared with me through this? How can I like formulate their stripe pattern, you know, because that's been something that we've recently seen, the Tolkien on Loak's, you know, and the a Tokarina in Quaritch in the amp suit, you know, like stuff like that. I'm like, okay, how can I then translate that through their avatar? So it's just so fun. It's so heartwarming. And I'm constantly pushing my art practice, which is so incredible, just like to like witness and see as an artist evolve. Like, it's so fun. You're always trying to one-up yourself like every other time. Yeah.
When they give you your cameo in like Avatar 3 or 4, actually guess it, like 4 or 5, when like something, you get a little cameo, like if one of the characters, I wonder what your stripe would be. Like, would it be something to do with Photoshop, or would it be, you know, like,
the Photoshop symbol?
Like, something like that. Yeah. Like, or maybe like the pen that you use. I think that'd be
that
really cool.
That is such a fair, I'm going to ponder that, and we're going to sit on it, and I'll share with you kind of the ideas that come to mind for sure.
I'm digging it. I very much dig that. Okay, we have another comment here. Bailey, how come James Cameron didn't contact you to join the crew? She is so good. So switch from first to third person. I like that.
To be fair, I was 9 in 2009. The process before that happened a little earlier.
It's I was 3,
maybe. No, love it. Yeah. Love it. The love is real.
It was 3.
Okay. You know, Bailey, also... I'm sorry for these excuses. Seriously, you should have... That was your opportunity, and
I know
you're gonna. Come on. Okay.
I think Cameron really missed the opportunity by not hiring you for this newest movie.
We'll see, you guys. We'll see. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, the flow. I like whatever flows goes.
I was like, there is a reason. It's called causality.
Thank you.
There you go.
Aga B has now basically you've walked right into this. We are doing it's a massive. This is the only quote unquote ads you'll get on TPN is just more TPN stuff. So we have the Matrix podcast. Vaga, you just chose yourself to be part of like this big 20-year like Matrix stuff we're doing because it's like the.
Oh, but I don't know anything about the Matrix. I've watched them, but I am not like a.
Personality? Like, are you
me
kidding?
Too.
Okay. All right. So. That I just had
never watched them sober.
I never watched them sober. I love that.
Ooh, that's got to be an interesting experience watching them drop.
I remember I was when I watched them. I was in, Matuba in Zululand, you know. And my friend had one of those projectors. It was the second Matrix movie, and it was either that or Finding Nemo. And I said, "Nah, bro, put on the Matrix, yeah." Oh my god, bro, I don't even remember like falling asleep that night. Like it was like I was in the Matrix, man. It was like my mind got transferred into that. Huh?
That's this is a very special experience.
That's the power of great film, right? Is that it's meant to resonate with you.
Yeah. That's right. I can take that. Okay. Let's do at least one because I love the flowing and the tangent taking. It's so great. But I suppose organically, unless Narusao like derails us. However, I really want to say that you are beautiful, Tim, and a beautiful clan. Okay, great. Is anyone on this stream called Tim? That's hilarious. I love that. Okay, how about we're all Tim? I like that. We are Groot. It's like a Groot situation. We're all Groot. We're all
one of my names is Tao, actually. Eh?
Oh, yeah. Tao.
When I'm in South Africa, my name is Tao.
Oh, beautiful. Cool. There you go. Tao.
Ooh, I love that question. Do you think Matt Damon would have been a good actor for Jake?
Ooh. Wait, can someone do a Matt Damon impression right now? And don't do this Team America one, because that's not a real impression. Matt Damon, I think he may yet at some point. I think this beautiful teasing that Cameron, you know, Arnold, like who wouldn't want to have this impromptu thing happen now that he's brought back, you know, Kate Winslet. I would love the idea of not only, and that's a lovely kind of deep cut thing there of Matt Damon, but also Edward Norton. Who was queued up at one point potentially to join, but he didn't join because
he would be horrible. Sorry, I'm not like Edward Norton's fine and all, but he is like such a drama queen behind the scenes from what like every information he would be. I can only imagine the clash stories between him and James Cameron.
I was gonna say, do you know? I mean, Jim is the one who wanted Ed Norton. Like,
was he really?
Him. He's a huge fan of him. Yeah, I think he wanted him to play. The marine biologist, I forgot his name, he's gone from my head, but
Ian Garvin.
I think that's who he wanted him to play, but he Ed Norton was obviously his usual controlling self and wanted to be a Na'vi, and
right.
Jim said no, but yeah, the clash between those two on set would have been a film in itself.
Yeah, well, Mark Maron also
of Nova and Alita Battle Angel, so
yeah.
I mean he didn't direct it, but you know, at least he gets a role.
I was gonna say him and Robert Rodriguez, that's okay. You Jim and Ed Norton, that's a potent mix, you know.
I love the man, but like, man, he really has a very specific vision. And I can't imagine like actors that are not willing to go along with that go blend super well behind the scenes.
If I become director, I will not cast him. Right. Don't worry.
Well, Sophie's becoming director, so she will make the decision. Okay, so 6 and 7, I think, are fully Sophie's territory.
Excuse me here.
Let's talk about David Thewlis. Okay, so Remus himself, I think he's going to look in Kiri's eyes and be like, you know, you have your, and then Kiri will say, my mother's eyes. Okay, that's a deep cut from Wizarding World.
Sorry, thank you. Harry Potter fan, so I'm just like, oh my god.
Thank you, Kathleen.
I am very curious to see if we'll see David Thewlis as part of the Ash people, as Una Chaplin is supposed to be their leader, if she'll be Oluwektan or if he'll be Sahik, because he also plays a fantastic villain. If anyone's watched Sandman, he is an absolute marvel as an antagonist. I would love to see him in a role like that in the Avatar world. We do know he'll be blue, I believe. Yes?
Yeah, he will be blue, but also maybe even like Ash or whatever, because of his Ash clan. Like he was also a villain in Dragonheart. Shouts out. Deep cut, Dragonheart. Yeah.
I was going to say, there's Sam Worthington. I couldn't imagine anyone else. And I think someone in the chat said the exact same thing, is that I think because he was an unknown, I think he was perfect for it. But also something really cool about, because I completely agree with you. I think that Una Chaplin is going to be the Oluwektan of the Ash tribe. And they Paul Frommer, who made the Na'vi language, he just added a female variant of Oluwektan. So he's almost given the game away in a sense. I think
they announced that back when Ikeni was Oluwektan of the Takami people. Like that was in one of the first books back in 2009 that they had a female version of Oluwektan.
That one's not canon anymore. He's changed it. So like bunch of, he's gone back and redone, like, they have seas and stuff. Like, I don't know if the, I don't believe, you have to check me on this because it could be wrong, but he gave like a presentation like recently about all the different additions he's made for The Way of Water.
Oh, nice.
And he basically mentioned one of those was that he'd like gone back and made sure everything was standardized, because they used to use a C in like Omatakaya, and there's no C in the Na'vi language, you know, things like that. And one of the things he did mention was
I think I heard him talking about that at the Ometacon, the like Kiladral con that they had. He was one of the panelists there, and he was talking about changes that he made to the language and adding and removing things and stuff. So I think that there's a video of that somewhere floating around.
I attended the panel. That wasn't regarding a female version. What they were saying is that the Reef Na'vi, where in the past they've had the tiftong, which is the little apostrophe, those kind of disappear in Reef Na'vi, and they also have the th sound, which in the past has not been part of the Na'vi language for Forest Na'vi. So if you actually watch the credits of Avatar The Way of Water, the Oluwektan of the Ta'anui clan is spelt differently than Oluwektan that we've seen in the past.
Whoa. And that's still male.
Male, but he's also articulated in his blog in the past that Oluwektan is more or less a gender neutral term. So I think more than anything, they'll just kind of remove the Oluwekte, which they had instituted for Ikeni's character originally, but I don't think that it's necessary. They want to go more gender neutral.
Very much. Okay, cool. I'm going to take a teeny little tangent. This is what the show is pretty good for. So I love etymology, and I don't know if you guys do this, but just, you know, mind's eye cinema, maybe thinking of doing what the geneticists in InGen did, is they take a little something and then they kind of, you know, retroactively grow the rest of the organism from it. So the word Varang, I did a quick check because I thought maybe there was like some connotation of fire there. But I just want to bring up here, I've got here an article on the Varangians. So say we're James Cameron in 1990 whatever or 2000 whatever, and we're like, you know, delving into military, you know, history and stuff like that or whatever. So they were a fighting force. It's just very, very interesting. So Old Norse, conquerors, traders, and settlers. So again, we haven't seen conqueror, angry, kind of aggressive Na'vi, and that fire kind of connotation really lends to that. They did raids. So again, raiding Na'vi will be quite frightening. We saw a little tease of that with Neytiri at the end, like a frightening kind of Na'vi display. Militarily, the Varangians were there's this mentioning here of like Greek fire, you know, and it's like incendiary weapons. So then I started thinking of really, really like the different portrayals and the different like warfare and creatures that could be involved in this Ash tribe that's been mentioned. So figured I'd take a little divergence there, maybe start a little bit of a round table. Yeah, why not?
I have a thought. I'm really curious, based off what you just said, if they're going to have more Viking-influenced hair and clothing. and less of this, like, pretty consistently the Na'vi so far have taken a lot of inspiration from African hairstyles, right? There's our Tibetan, there's quite a few Tibetan hairstyles that are influencing them as well, but generally that kind of area. And I'm wondering if we're going to start to see more of like a European indigenous influence on the Ash people, because so far we've mostly seen like Polynesia and like African influence. And I think it would be really cool to kind of see them kind of embodying more like Sami or these other like different cultures that are still indigenous, but not, you know, what we associate with like a lot of like colonization. But these are still indigenous people that it's in colonization, it's just in a very different way, right? And so I think that'll be an interesting, I kind of hope it takes that direction, because I think that would provide a lot more interesting commentary on the different ways in which colonization affects different indigenous groups, right? Mm-hmm.
You have to, with James Cameron, it's always about what is the metaphor. So we have to consider, what is he trying to say with this film? Because it's not just coming out of nowhere. He's not just making it up. He has a very definite intention for this film and how it's supposed to relay to the audience what has happened in human history, what's happened in our own past, not just what could be happening on some fictional moon, but what has already occurred. So we've seen that with the use of the indigenous inspirations for the Forest Na'vi, and we saw that again with the Polynesianist inspiration. And he has said in interviews that he wants to highlight that human beings still need to remember that we are not perfect and that we have very much had these darker pasts. So they're hoping to see the Na'vi in a more antagonistic setting.
Antagonistic, you know, that's the key.
What I think about with the Ash people as well is James Cameron has said that these are going to be like the villainous Na'vi. Now, I think he might be drawing inspiration from, I don't know if you've heard of these people, but in Namibia, there's a people called the Himba and a people called the Herero, yeah? Now, they both came from the same tribe about 100 years ago. Yeah, they were basically the same people. But when the Germans showed up in Namibia, they started to genocide the Himba people, yeah? And the Herero, they saw this, and they said, well, we don't want to be wiped out as well. So they began to copy the German invaders,
right?
And they became distant from the Himba people. So I'm thinking, what if the Ash people have now distanced themselves from the rest of the Na'vi and are copying the humans?
I love
so
that.
What if they're starting to build structures? You know, these people could be they're starting to build temples. And what if as well, what if the defining feature of these people are the fact that they don't follow Ewa? What if they, like, part of their way of life now is that they don't believe in Ewa. They think that they're higher than Ewa. They think that the humans have brought something in that they can now build a new culture off of. Like, even with the rituals that they do, you would have it so they cut off their Sahelu, they cut off their connection with Ewa. Yeah, see, so these are Himba women. Yeah. So this is what generally the, like, Bantu population of Namibia looked like. Like, you know, 800, 200 years ago, you know? But then the Herero broke off from that. So if you look up Herero, it's like H-E-R-E-R-O. They're wearing like, you know, kind of turn of the century German clothing. They've got the hats, the kind of dresses. Exactly. You see?
Whoa. So,
something similar to this, but with the Ash people in Avatar 3, you know? So it's essentially, it's like they've pushed away what they came from and have become something completely different, because would really set them apart from the other Na'vi, you know?
Yes, it would. There was a comment actually to back you up. This was someone was working on a theory and said, look, if the global network is like a kind of like a computer, well, that means it could be hacked or something. So maybe this Ash tribe kind of maybe see the merits, or like a villainous tribe, maybe, I don't know if the Ash tribe, but a sect of the Na'vi maybe agree and like take two, you know, Edie Falco and the invaders, and they might be seeking to, you know, we never believed in Ewa anyway, let's kill Ewa, you know, like Ewa's not in our interest. She's clearly repelling you, and so let's come together and oh god.
To Minty's point on this as well, I don't agree with him on the rejecting Ewa, but the similarities in the Himba and the how do you pronounce the other one? But they worship the same. The Herero. They worship the same god. Because me and Minty have talked about this.
They worship the same god, and fire
is one of the key things for them. So they use an ancestral fire that they have to keep burning, and they believe that that ancestral fire is how they communicate with Makuru, who is their god. So I think that if the Ash people are to be inspired, that I think that those peoples are definitely something that I could imagine would be.
You could even have connection. Like the Ash people could have Himba hairstyles as well. Like, what if they were to get the ash from the volcano, rub it into their hair, and it gives them that like kind of look going on? The way how they do that, the way the Himba women do that, though, they put butter in their hair to get it shaped like that, you know? But you could do it, you could just change it so it's like ash, you know? But that'd be so interesting to see, especially if, like, imagine if like these Na'vi, they are starting to build structures, they're starting to, you know, actually create, like, you know, like human-like clothing, they're starting to have human-like ideologies because they're thinking, like,
it's the same lesson of what is the impact of colonization, and that's where the lesson would come from. And it doesn't have to be purely the Himba. It could be easily like a mash of the Himba story and the Viking story. Take two different, very different cultures from human history and try and use illusion through costuming and hairstyles to bring those stories to light. So that, because again, that's going to reach a larger global audience who will be able to learn from that in a different capacity. But the same lesson will go over of what is that impact of violence begetting more violence, which is something we've already started to visit in Avatar: The Way of Water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I guess, I mean, I mentioned Thaelis before, and we've talked about, it's very easy to basically say, look, Thaelis will be the Olo'ekton of the Ash people, and Varang, you know, Una Chaplin will be the Tsahik.
Maybe not. Could be the other way around.
Could be the other way around. Absolutely. My main thing with this structure of the Pentalogy, the five, which is looking, you know, as Cameron mentioned, there is, even with this, which this would have been a very different conversation even a month ago, because we would have come across as like, oh, look at them. But now, as you continuously see these headlines of the film doing as well as it's doing, and insert anything. I've said, you've said, Holiday, everyone here has said, AG, everybody, about the levels on which Avatar works, which is that it is a connecting thing. It goes beyond just entertainment. There's something kind of deep and tribal about reconnecting with how we should be living, you know, how we should be treating the planet. So there's something like that happening. I think in the interest of this kind of artivism thing that they're doing, you know, a beautiful thing, I think Mega 64 raised it, is like maybe each of these films will deal with a or directly address a current problem of the planet. And I was doing a teensy bit of research into that, unless anyone else had some of their research they've gone into in terms of ecologically, the ash people, the maybe the deserts, you know, there's this illusion of seed bearer. We could be looking at, did I hear someone start to speak?
Oh yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was born and grew up in Arizona, and we're talking of, I just saw an article today about Lake Palo Verde being drained water, because there's not enough water in Arizona. And it was just something, I know a lot of people talk with the Ash people about whether or not they're going to live in a desert, like near volcanoes or things like that. And I'm just thinking about, like, deserts are one of our very unique environmental, like, spaces. They're very dry, and they're very, like, they're what people would often consider barren, except that they're not. And especially in places like Arizona, we see there's a lot of diversity and like environmental and like biological spheres. And so I just think that, like, if we are, you know, going to different biomes, it would be interesting to talk about the effects of climate change on deserts and how it may be so hot, right, that they're not inhabitable for the things that are designed to live there. But also, I think it would be interesting, since so much of what Cameron talks about is water, right? He talks about it a little bit in the first movie, I think, too, with the relationship of, like, trees and Neytiri's scene where she's, like, drinking, and, like, that whole, like, water connects everything, right? It would be interesting to talk about how maybe the Ash people have become human and become like this because the humans showing up robs them of water. And our relationship with water in the desert is very different than our relationship with water when you live somewhere else, right? Water is very important to all things. But it would make sense if the narrative is something along the lines of, well, they become more human and they reject, you know, these Na'vi cultures, but if they are forced to, because by humans showing up, they don't have water anymore.
Sorry to cut anyone off, but if we are, you know, even if it's a 7-part thing, there's going to be a middle of anything. That's such is the way with like mortal beings. We don't have this big uninterrupted thing. We could go into ontology and existentialism and stuff like that. But yes, we are like mortal creatures with a beginning, middle, end. And as far as the pentalogy is concerned, you know, there's two on either side of this one thing in the middle. And it's so interesting to me that the middle chapter, you know, I mean, it is conflict, and you know, water connects, but fire literally like burns. Like it's opposite. And so I find that to be, yeah, like really, really intriguing that we're going to be dealing with a lot of something that has been very lightly, you know, teased, which is, you know, Tute really, he was very fiery in that first one. He was so mistrustful. And there's some stuff in the comments here of, you know, I hope the Ash people are aggressive, but not that they side with the humans. I would love for the Ash people to like want to like burn everyone down. You know, it'd be interesting to see like we maybe their philosophy, because there's, you know, the way of water, that's for the Midkainer, but what if like what's the way of Ash, for example? Like what's this thing of maybe severance and isolation, which rejects connection? And so we can do a roundtable on that. Whatever, if anyone has that. Go for it. Or not.
Well, I have a much less literal interpretation of the seed bearer, which we were just talking about before, regarding whether or not it's about a different biome. Personally, I see it as, again, we don't even know if this is an official title. It was something that was being contemplated, but it could easily be replaced. But when the seed bearer came up, my first thing that comes to mind is the idea of panspermia. And it's a concept that has been kind of tickled around in the Avatar universe that the Na'vi may not have been originally from Pandora, that they may have come and have been able to access the moon later on and then co-evolve with the rest of the biosphere that is Pandora, I suppose. So there might be something in that window, and I'm curious if anyone has more to say on it, because the idea, sorry, if you're not familiar with panspermia, it's the idea, yes, that basically some sort of seed of life was able to come from somewhere else. And as we know, James Cameron has purposefully created this entire solar system that Pandora is a part of, and it has other habitable moons nearby. So that's something that he has explored in the back lore. And it's something that we could explore in the future. We know that in Avatar 4, there's going to be a break and they're going to eventually be getting to Earth. So I think the idea that they are not of Pandora could be introduced in Avatar 3.
Very good.
Minty loves this theory. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The entire theory around
I've,
it.
I've got quite a few of them, right?
I want to hear.
He definitely agrees with you on this, like 100%.
Yeah. Tell me more.
I think one of my biggest theories about how the Na'vi got to Pandora is that Grace is slowly becoming Ewa, and it's going to be a time paradox where Grace goes back to the beginning of Pandora. And wow. She creates the Na'vi and all of the wildlife. And that's why the Na'vi look like humans in a slight way. And that's why a lot of the animals can relate back to animals found on Earth. You know, it's basically a biosphere that she's
This wasn't created. The theory I was thinking, Minnie. I was thinking about...
Okay, which is the other one?
I'm wondering why you talk about the seeds go to Earth.
That was it.
I think that's much more like...
That was more of a joke theory that I said, because I might have been a bit under the influence when I said it, eh? But basically, what I was saying is, at the end of Avatar 5, you know, it's the entire Earth is going to be destroyed, you know, it's going to be like a war between the Na'vi and the people and all that kind of stuff, you know? And it's going to zoom in on a little rock, and it's going to keep on zooming, and you're just going to see a little sprout of a tree coming out, and it's going to be a tree of souls.
We're going to live our Wall-E experience of the boot with the seed in it.
As much as I like that, I actually really hope that's not the case, because I think the idea of the franchise is to enlighten a large audience and inspire them to save the planet we are currently on. But if that's the conclusion, then that ending means we may as well give up now. There's no reason to help fix anything, because we're already screwed. Some other life form will come by and start something new later on. So there's nothing to raise the audience to do more in that conclusion.
Another one I was thinking of is, what if Pandora is just Earth, like billions of years in the future, And when the Na'vi go to Earth, see, AG's laughing now. AG's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. So what if they bring one of the seeds of Ewa, the seed bearer, comes back to Earth and brings a seed and bears that seed on planet Earth, yeah? Mm-hmm. And so Ewa is born on Earth, and then the people evolve to follow Ewa, and the Earth is restored as this beautiful, you know, natural place.
I like that theory more than the theory that the Na'vi aren't from Pandora. I feel like, and this is just like my personal criticism of it, and I'm not Native, but based on commentary that I've heard from Native peoples talking about it, I think that claiming that they're from another planet gives off the same kind of vibe as the history that was like, well, all Native people came across the ice bridge from Asia, and that's how that, because
right.
I think that the Na'vi makes them really compelling is that they are so connected to the planet. And by saying that they weren't part of that, I don't know, it kind of disingenuous mm-hmm. it to me a little bit.
Well, sorry, the concept of panspermia comes back from, it's not just humans, but it's literally all life. So if you're like an astrobiologist and you're trying to figure out what was the original spark that allowed for life to grow on Earth, why is it here? Why is it not on other planets as far as we know? What they're trying to investigate is what that beginning spark was, and then all life sprang from that. So on Earth right now, the concept is like in a ancient pre-historical time before dinosaurs, before there was anything, and we were just a molten block of rock in the vastness of space. What electric spark, what chemical reaction needed to take place for bacteria to be able to grow, and then for that evolution to evolve? That's what panspermia is. So
Holiday, when I do my wiggle hands, it means I'm really feeling it. The wiggles.
Okay, good.
Okay, so
it's not necessarily like an alien species came down and then started joining in. But yeah,
what I'm saying here in terms of 3, 4, 5, I love that because there's a scene, I think the most enigmatic scene, I'll get your riff on this, Bailey, soon, actually, it's Kiri connecting with Grace in these visions, you know. Well, not even visions, it's directly with you know, her residual memories and stuff. Yeah, it's a really intense scene, it is. And but what I think that would be, you know, not to get too heavy, but my mom-in-law to be passed away in February from cancer. And one thing we were doing throughout her treatment is I was kind of like energetically telling her, like, go speak to the problem, like go all the way deep inside so that you can address that on a cellular level, and then you'll connect and then you can push the cancer away. So if we use the sky people as a cancer analogy here, then Ewa might be aware that a reboot is going to be needed. So in that process of like rebirthing herself into Kiri, we're going to see the origins of Ewa potentially, you know, because she has to go back to herself. Like again, that part of that reboot process, if we are talking about, yeah, this network, which would create a beautiful continuity across all the films, which is in the very first one, Grace mentions it being like a network, and the network can be hacked, but it also can be rebooted. So yeah. Just thought I'd contribute that.
Just learning about the time before the first songs, you know, before the Na'vi people were even a people. That's nice.
Indeed.
I want to, Holiday, I got to ask a question because I think you're totally right about what Jim's intending to do. I think you said it really well. That we have to save ourselves. Do you think he's going to be able to avoid doing like the John Connor thing? Because that my worry is that he always makes the savior a single person. Like the head, and I feel like if he wants it, if it's going to work, it's going to have to be that we have to save ourselves, because that always made me laugh a little bit. That, like, for you guys have seen Terminator 2, that basically Sarah Connor says no fate but what we make, but at the same time she has a son who's destined to save the human race, and I always like laughed at that kind of, you know. Like, so I would love to know what Holiday thinks about.
I hope so. I think he's self-aware enough that he would be like, I've already done this too many times. I need to do something bigger, better, and different. I don't know that in 2013, when they were writing Avatars 2 through 5, that he had come to that same conclusion. So that's where I kind of worry, is that after all of this, we're going to get a decade after the point that they had written that story, and we're all going to be like, this is obsolete. We've moved past this as a species, because that's how fast information grows these days. That's really my biggest worry. I hope he had that much foresight.
Yes. Kathleen wanted to speak. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Yeah, so I wanted to jump. I'm going to jump back to the Curie thing a little bit. That scene, it really hit me hard. Mainly because I, myself, am adopted, and I don't know my biological mother. I don't know who my father is. So just kind of seeing that scene and just having Curie having that one little moment with Grace, and then Grace being pulled away from her, that really made me sad.
Yeah. Impromptu hug for Kathleen right now. Okay? Like, come on. Oh, boom. There you go. Screen capture this, everybody.
I'm putting my cameras off, though.
We can feel your energy, Minzy.
Yeah, I'm putting my energy through my voice.
That's right. Oh, did you hear? Even Bailey's cat just said hi as well. That's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I forget that noise can come through earphones.
That's great. I love it.
I have a question for you guys. I don't know if this has been discussed yet on any platform, because at least I haven't seen it, and I'm very curious if anybody else picked up on it. In that scene when Curie is seeing Grace, and right before she starts to have her seizure, the reason in which she has her seizure is that kind of unplugging. The visuals in that moment looked quite computerized in a way, as in like glitch. Like when Grace was being pulled away, it had that kind of glitching computer screen effect rather than just some like whooshing away. And in that moment, I immediately thought like, holy shit, is this like a simulation? Like something in that sense? Did anybody else like notice like something about that felt like a literal unplugging? I don't know.
I noticed that because she starts to get like, I know what you're saying. She starts to get like blurry on the edges or something. Like when you're watching a video game and it's lagging and you're waiting for it to catch up to whatever it is that you're going to do.
My TV was doing that just today, actually.
Yeah.
And so, I thought that they just didn't render it properly.
I felt as if it was intentional. I think it was intentional.
Totally intentional.
Oh, yeah, melting. It also kind of looked like it was melting.
I think it's because the code, if we're going on the whole concept that it's a network, right? And it works like a computer. Obviously, it's not a computer. It's like a biological computer.
It's kind of the other way around. It's like computers work like a brain. That's the whole idea. But anyway.
Yeah. But like the concept that the code was too big to transfer. That's the way I imagined it. Because it seems to me like Ewa in this moment is trying to transfer something to Curie. And I don't know if you've ever tried to like attach a file that's too big and your computer just like hangs as it's like trying to attach this file. But it felt like to me.
Okay, just curious.
I noticed the
What do you think, Halda? I feel like I can feel you like ready to.
I want everyone else to say things on this one because I honestly didn't catch that enough. I didn't.
That scene completely threw me off as well. I thought for ages that it was some kind of like secret place where she was seeing Grace, but it's the Tree of Souls. It's the Home Tree.
Home Tree.
Because you can see the arches in the same background scene when in the original movie. So, but I was convinced that it was some kind of like temple, or I was like, oh my god, maybe it's a.
Well, that was by design, temple. Though. They had a couple of interviews with the artists recently that were talking about how they designed the roots of Home Tree to have that cathedral-like arch, and it was meant to kind of give the audience that illusion of church, because so many people, that's what they would associate kind of an afterlife with, and so it resonates with more broader audiences, I suppose, when you kind of put it in a church-like setting, but not necessarily what it was.
I've seen a lot of like back and forth about what exactly Curie is, and if she's like the avatar of Ewa, or if she just like is special, and I really personally like the theory that she is like Ewa's like chosen one, which is why Jake is not the chosen one anymore, and that Ewa is trying to communicate with her directly, and that's why it like glitches, because Ewa doesn't have a personal interface, right? She's so huge and so broad that she can't, how can she interface with a single individual? And I think that her using Grace to try to communicate with her is what's happening, but it doesn't work, because going back to what we were talking about at the very beginning, circling back around, the concept of the intelligence is not something that's on the same level as the Na'vi. It's so huge, right? It's the whole planet. Yeah. So how does Ewa, you know, find a way to connect with this like singular entity?
Well, I mean, envision where the idea of an avatar came from. That came from Sanskrit, and the religious philosophical background behind it was that their deities needed a human host in order to interact with the world. And then that later on got appropriated by the Christians, and that's where Jesus came from. So the concept of an avatar, which we use more modernly, is in our video games. We are an entire conscious human being, but if we want to interact in this two-dimensional world inside our computers, we need an access point, and that's what an avatar is to us. So in either capacity, you can use it as a metaphor, but Pandora is meant to be an entire conscious being on this much larger macro scale. And when you try to take an entity on that scale and have, if I wanted to have an impact on my cellular design and go into my body and be like, okay, we need to do this, I need some sort of entry point with that. Right now, humans don't have that, but maybe we would in the future. That's why it's sci-fi.
Yeah. Indeed. Raph says, it was like Ewa didn't want Kiri to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I interpreted it as.
Mm. It's like, not yet.
I honestly think about Kiri.
Oh, actually, we'll go Robin, then Big Man Minty. Go for it, Robin.
Okay, cool.
I really thought it was like a computer glitch as well, because the tunnel that you see, like when she's pulled back, looked like a computer wire almost.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah, no, and go ahead, Minty, on that.
So remember how I was saying earlier about how the seed is going to get to Earth and then Earth is going to become something like Pandora?
Whoa.
I think Kiri is going to be the seed bearer, because you got to think of it like before Grace died, Jake asked Ewa to look inside her head to see where she's coming from. What if that was Ewa being like, yo, okay, there's a planet that's like in a bad shape. And what if Ewa is like a kind of conquering being? She conquers different planets. She goes along. So she's seen Earth now and she's thinking, yo, we need to fix this place up, you know?
Yeah.
So
I literally have that Minnie, written down.
She creates Kiri. She creates Kiri.
Out there, fairies, by the way. If you want the most insane theories about Avatar,
yeah. I snorted, but I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I was more like, we deserve it. We would so deserve it.
Yeah. But honestly, I think like that's what they're building Kiri up to be, because Ewa then looked inside of Grace's head and it's like, okay, well, I can't bring back Grace, but I can get the seed that is going to fix up Earth as her daughter, you know?
Mm.
So it's like, Kiri is still like immaculate conception. How do you say that word? Immaculate conception. She's going to be the one. And I think honestly, the way it could work as well is maybe the humans catch Kiri. They're like, yo, she's got like connections to Ewa. Let's bring her back to Earth to study her. That's probably the way they're going to segue into the Na'vi going to Earth, you know? Mm. But I genuinely believe that she's gonna be the one, you know.
I'm gonna just love on Minty right now. That's the one way to interrupt slightly, even barely politely, so I apologize. AG and Alex, I love you both, and I see you, Alantika Mia, both. I know it's super early there, so thank you for the mini heads up. Before I let go of you though, Alex, that lazy snail everywhere, people can find you. Is that right?
Yes. I'm that lazy snail on everything.
I hope to be meeting her when we go to the same convention in April.
I'm going to do my best Red Letter Media. That lazy snail on YouTube. That lazy snail on Twitter.
That lazy snail on TikTok and Instagram.
Instagram. So, no, and I really am looking forward to riffing with you in person. It's been such a lovely, you know, process of like linking up and connecting in this space. But yes, off you go. So I'll bring up you first. There you go. Go over to YouTube right there. It's going to be in the description. Everybody who joined will be in the description for the post show.
And happy birthday too.
And happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday.
And, seriously, and Alex, before you go to bed, please send me your address. Okay.
I will send you my address. Thank you.
From me and Alida. There you go.
And thank you guys so much for having me. I love you all. Laylan. And I'll see you around.
Bye.
I'll see you in the next one. And then we have Big Man Minty. So he's heading off too. So, but yes.
Yeah, please go. You can find me on Instagram. So my Instagram name is life_of.kian. I'm going to be going back to Africa soon. I'm doing a huge trip going up through the continent. You can see all my photos about what I'm doing there. It's going to be fun, huh?
Love it. Love it. And I just want to bring up everyone's thing. So yes, Avatar Guy, off you go. Have an amazing rest of your night. Thank you so much for being at the first annual meeting of the clans. And here's to you with your ongoing path of success with all your endeavors. We're T-minus certainly within this year of you doing this full time. So we're...
Manifest, manifest.
Yeah, no, thanks right, for having me, everyone. It's great to chat. Araya.
All right, take it easy.
All right, good night, guys.
No, Minty, no, let me bring up.
Okay, bro. Okay,
let me amplify you. Okay, so where am I going? Where can I send people?
Let's go. Okay, right, so my Instagram is @life_of.kian, so CIAN.
Life,
you can see all my posts about Africa.
I'm just gonna find you on Instagram right now because, and you just saw if I'm an avatar person, I go, what's and give me just spell it out and let's just go there. And I'll
so it's life, and then underscore,
yep,
of so of
of Kian. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Kian. It's like an Irish name, huh?
Beautiful.
But yeah, there you go. That's like all my like posts. A lot of them about Africa. I'm going to be going back to Africa next month. I'm going to have a crazy trip, man. Basically, like I'm going back. I'm going to see all my friends in South Africa. Then I'm going to go up through the continent. I get to Arusha. I'm going to go hunting with the Hadzadiba tribe. Then I'm going to go out to Mafia Island to help my friend build backpackers and build more infrastructure for the people living on this island. You know, it should be pretty fun.
I want everyone on this to love on this lovely.
That's me at Home Tree, actually. I went to Pandora.
You did. That's right. Okay. So the love is real. Off you go. Great to meet you on the show. Let's have you on for many, many
more. Have so much fun. That sounds
great. Wait to hear more fairies.
Thank you so much for having me. Eh?
No, my pleasure.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you. Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
The love. Oh, man. It just gets to be too much at some point. And then check you out. This is Robin's. Is it Robin's? It's your mom chiming in?
Yeah, it's my mom.
So freaking earnest and adorable. But yeah, Salty Dread, so sweet. Okay, so Brainless Mad Matt is also moseying. That's actually, no. 2:30, that's how much we love our Tahik. He's going. That's it. Brainless is truly, he's lost his mind. You know, staying up so late. Okay, there you are. So, but look, I you know, that's one thing with parties is like when one person starts leaving or everyone starts leaving, but I
like I'm ready to go.
Are you ready to go?
I need some food and to take my headphones off, but I've had a great time.
You are a let's bring you up. You are a tireless, truly tireless, and I don't know how you do it. I think some kind of amazing ash people rituals where you're like drawing energy from the magma of you. But yes,
it's the rain. It's all about water. Water is life. Water gives you everything. I live in a temperate rainforest and it's been pouring for weeks. So it's all about that water.
Head over holiday on Pandora on Instagram. That's me. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Woo. Thousand millions. But yes, right here on TikTok as well. So if you go, have a lovely rest.
Thank you so much. Yeah, if anyone wants to follow me, I just started a YouTube channel too, which is also Holiday on Pandora, and more long form content is coming in the near future. So
about time.
I'm sorry. It takes so much time. I have work.
I know. So fair.
Oh my gosh. Exciting. I was so thank you, everyone.
Subscribed. Just subscribed.
Yes. You guys are the best. Okay. It was so much fun meeting all of you. I cannot wait to dive more into Italian Avatar TikTok. I'll like learn Italian just to learn more what you guys are saying. Thank you so much for having me. It was great as always. Thank you so much, team. And I'll see you at the next one.
The next one.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Oh my God. Too much love. It's it. I've reached love like zenith, and it's just, I don't know what to do. It's I'm overwhelmed. I'm whelmed. We have Raf saying it's really late here. Yeah, so Raf, you're leaving us too. Actually, Raf's sweet. I sent her all the details. I don't know what if she wasn't able to join, but let's get you on the next one. Very lovely, you know, Instagram community member there. Jay Banks just ignoring all the goodbyes and just being like, one of the kids is going to the dark side. We just kicking the show. Despite
just jump right into that.
That's why I have a gut feeling she'll be captured and brought to the dark side. well, Spider, you know, he, I mean, that's at the very end. We are looking at a little bit of split loyalty. I mean, you know, this man, you know, his father and everything, and there was a connection they discovered because of Neytiri, and that's the poetry there, is Neytiri forced that connection to the surface by threatening Miles's life. And so suddenly it's like, oh, wow, I just instinctively realized that I care about you. And that is going to have consequences into the next one, which I believe will be, yeah, tested loyalties. I think it's going to be, I don't know what kind of a time gap they're going to do, but they will have to reconcile that. Yeah. Go ahead, Kathleen.
All right. So I actually wrote a little theory about this, is that you know how, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but at the end, when Quaritch called Miles Spider at the end, that again brings up that he cares about him. And that's going to really be a thing that kind of breaks Quaritch down almost in a way, until in the final film, I had this whole idea written out where there's a, like, Quaritch is about to kill Spider at one point, but then he's like, I can't do it. And then he points the gun at his head, but then Spider kind of takes his hand and puts it down as if to say, no, don't.
Intense. But it's so funny. I am looking, Bailey, are you ready? Do you remember when I don't know how many times you've seen it, but when Spider's underneath that table and, you know, you know, Quaritch is just trying to be like, I don't know, I'm kind of your dad, I suppose, and sort of sits him there like Pinocchio, like sits him on the bench, like this real boy.
Like it's nothing, yeah.
it was so wholesome. And I, again, I it's so funny, the dimensionality now that Quaritch has after being, okay, she's vanished. I love how you just moved 3 feet and you have gotten...
Guys, I gotta go into the forest. I'll be back.
I go, boom, that's it. That's amazing. All right, I'm clipping that out.
I completely forgot I was muted.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. So, que hora fala? What time is it there?
2 a.m.
Maron. Come on now, lady. We don't do this. Yeah? Okay. All right. Commitment. Oh, che bello. Guarda. Che piccino che. Piccolo. Che carino.
The shirt.
The shirt.
Che adorabile. Madonna.
He is so proud of you.
Oh, no, I'm proud of him. Please tell him. Seriously. We are all you guys' brothers, sisters, fathers. You know, I can have
make it a halo, guys.
Well, that's right, exactly. I have this. I don't have hair, but I have this. There you go. the love is really, really real for the little one. And I keep calling him like the future Oloektan. Like that's because he's like under, you know, Sophie's wing, like learning how to be a good leader. And then we have Dennis Sully say, quanto sei bella, quanto sorridi, si illumina il mondo, una donna meravigliosa, which translated is, it's so beautiful when you smile, it illuminates the world, you are a marvelous woman. Oh, my God. Robin, how do you handle having this much love in the world? Is it possible? Is this, am I dreaming? Come on,
I'm so really proud of them. Because I give them so much love and they respond like that. It's impressive. Yeah.
No. And now, what is this, Bailey? Have we reached that natural point where it's like, there's just love? Okay. We'll catch. How about that? Like, shall we bring it? Okay. Who shall bring? Okay.
My sister soul.
Yeah, so the sister soul. Yes. Okay. So.
Sophie's my soul says 100%.
Bailey and Sophie, you are Kotsahiks. Can you bring the meeting of the clans 2023 to a close? Can you do that in whatever way you want? There you go. Yeah. Woo.
I like, oh my gosh. Remember when I came on saying I needed intro music? I think we need to end this with some outro music, Albert. And that's on your end. You got a chance. Okay. I don't know how you can do that.
I will. I will.
Outro.
Okay. I'm going to go Simon Frank.
I'll be the next Sahik next baby. Year.
And I'll probably have to clip this out because of the crazy freaking, you know, stuff there. But again, whether, you know, on the podcast services, you'll hear everything. It's just on the YouTube, you might hear like stuff getting clipped out or whatever. Mm-hmm. But let's bring up because you can't see what I'm bringing up, which is going to be fun.
Right,
because
I remember last time you included music, they were like, copyright. They were like,
what? All right, yeah. But we're going to try this one. Hopefully it doesn't autoplay so it's not spoiled. All right, everybody. I'm going to play us out with some music from Avatar.
Outro music.
Outro music from, that's right, Bailey. Thank you very much. Look, you're all so, so wonderful. I owe it to each of you to do another roundtable. So, Sophie, Antarctide Arctic, a little bit fun to say. Your kind of cool outlet there of, you know, Instagram. But you're also...
Today, someone sent to me a video of penguin of Antarctide, yes. Antarctica.
What do you know?
No. I think we're gonna definitely.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. Pandoran penguins, because we've seen Pandoran otters. So I think. So if you guys are like embedded into Avatar, just type Avatara, and then it'll auto filter Avatar Arctic Life, which is this.
Yes.
You set up. It's for the Italian Avatarini tribe. So the love is real, right there.
Avatarini.
Vai. Fatti una bella, beautiful. You can stick around for the play out if you want to hear the music, of course. But that's Sophie there. Kathleen, the Navi Dreamwalker. The only one, the Navi Dreamwalker.
It's because Navi Dreamwalker was taken, so.
Yeah, well, there you go. So amazing. Thank you for your wonderful, worthwhile. And... like life-affirming chronicle and just so passionate and yeah, the love is
real. I do post some non-Avatar content, but I will say it is very rare.
Okay. There you go. And here's to you returning for many more. Robin.
Yes.
Robin, thank you for being who you are, doing what you do right here.
Thank you for having me.
That's right. Head over to her. I think it's like, I'll have it in the description, but then people are like visual creatures. So then they can just be like, I'll just go and find her. And you so-and-so Bailey.
Gosh darn you.
Becoming Navi, everybody. And also while you're there, becoming Visions as well.
Oh gosh.
The Targaryen portrait I need you to make of me.
Once my Avatar saga starts slowing down, maybe I'll make other art. Who knows?
That's a big maybe though, because it's probably gonna continue on for the next couple of years.
Oh girl, I know. We're in for a wild ride.
We are indeed. And to
I don't know where this is going to go, but all I got to say is I'm just glad to be compared to Carrie.
I'm just glad that you're all here as well. The love is real. Very interesting thoughts here. So thank you and good night. So from the community side in the little claps to you, Raf, thank you. She mentioned she was too shy to join, but who knows, down the line. Also, you know, the home tree door's always open. That is our show, everybody. I should be...
Outro. Come on now.
I will do the outro. I will. I have to start doing this thing which people tell me that I need to do, and it's like, whatever. But I do want to thank the Patreon peeps who are like, they're just very sweet. They're doing this lovely thing, Bales, you wouldn't believe. Everyone on this stream right now, first of all, please make Patreons if you don't already have them. Because there's just people out there ready to just love on you and support you.
Yeah, so sweet.
Even me mentioning it, I want it to be about you guys in the first instance, but I will bring up the thing. Why not? It's just like,
Do it.
And you know, StreamYard makes it extra uncomfortable because you have to like go and then find it. And then, oh, guess what? I have to change it to a JPEG first.
But I
promised that I would do it. So thank you for bearing with me. You lovely people. But yes, patreon.com/topicnetwork. You know, these lovelies here, these lovely boffins, we started jumping on shows and doing stuff super early on. So I consider, you know, Bailey, Kathleen, Robin, you know, everybody, Sophie, they're kind of like they're like staff here to me, like they're part of the Topic Network. But if you are a community member and you wanted to connect with some of these lovely folks here, if you're like, I would love to like be on a show with Bailey or be on a show with Sophie or Kathleen or Robin, then there is a teensy little option out there for you. I'll, you know, don't think about me. It's not about me. But what I would like to do is accommodate those lovely little connections. And here we go. I'm going to add a slide. You're going to look at it. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. Actually, now it won't even accept JPEGs, so I'm just fucking tired now.
Post-production, Albert. Post-production.
Post-production. All right. I just jerry-rigged it. So there, boom. There you go. There. Join
awesome.
Us. And now it's time for outros. I love you all. I will be actually haranguing all of you on this stream about your Patreons because I want to join them.
I will be making one. I got to figure it out. But yes, okay. Great point.
I have to ask my mom first, but I probably will be able to get a Patreon. I just have to ask her.
All right. And now I'm going to remove everything and just hug you all. Bye, everybody. Lots of love. Thank you for joining.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. And take us away, Simon Franklin. Bye, everyone. Wait.
Hang on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Please wait.
Okay. Oh, Christ. Holding everyone hostage.
Okay, bye, everybody. Bye. Here we go.